tonight is Youth Speaks Night, and we have Brother Harrison tonight, so please welcome him and give the Lord a hand clap of praise as he comes.
Ooh. All right, let's see if I stick to script or if I yap. Last time I did this, I went over three paragraphs, like massive paragraphs in 30 seconds and wasted half of my entire, it was like on track for a 10 minute and then it just turned into a 2 minute. So this is short. All right. So the topic of my message today is focus and how it is important to focus on our walk with God. Eye contact. If you could all please open your Bibles to Matthew 6:33 with me. Let's see if you make it faster than a one-handed man. Oh. Oh. I'll get there. Yep. It reads, you all read it, right? Okay. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For context, this verse is a part of, you probably know this, but this is a part of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. During this sermon, Jesus taught the disciples how to live, you could sit if you want, how to live a life according to God's will. In this particular section of the sermon, the ending of the section, it goes on about how we shouldn't worry about things of the flesh. We shouldn't worry about what we have to eat or how we look. We should seek God first. And right before that, earlier, it says, therefore unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Oh, that's a question mark. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than thee? It's easy to get caught up in what's going on. It's like, especially with the internet now, there is stuff happening 24/7. You could be caught up in, we're all gonna die, you know, global warming, or you could think about Thick of It by KSI. You could do all that type of stuff. And it's super easy to get caught up in it. But the problem is that it's just as easy to get, you're laughing, to get, like, you completely forget what you're supposed to remember. You forget what truly matters. I know, at least for me, I have had this problem forever. We all have it. But the problem for me was that I would get fixated on what's happening in online stuff. I'd get hyped by my new artist or, you know, the thousands of hours I put into a single game that I now hate. But the problem with that is that I would wake up thinking about Apex. I would get school done sloppily thinking about Apex. I would play thinking about Apex. And at the end of the night, I would realize, wait, I did nothing with God. And it got to that point where it got worse and worse. And my entire life was either, oh yeah, I have to go do this today. Or hey, I want to get a diamond badge. I never got it. But the thing is, it got worse. And I got to the point where Jesus was no longer a close friend, but a weekly acquaintance, yes. I only talked to him twice a week or when I had my existential crisis. That's it. Really set me back on a path. It sent me, and I forgot everything I learned. I no longer felt happy. It's just, I went down in that downward spiral, and it is easy to do that. Even if it doesn't get that extreme, it is easy to forget what you need to know. So then I recognized that, and I realized I had to seek him first. I wake up in the morning thinking about him. When I walk into a bar, I say, ow, I had to do that. But if I go to someone's house, I have to go there thinking about him. When I'm in my interactions, I had to think about him. And it's only now that I'm starting to improve and come back. It's a daily struggle. Another thing is we need to put him first to accomplish what he wants in us. If we don't talk to him, if we don't spend time with him, if he is very low on the lists of everything, if it goes food, sleep, Apex, you know, Warzone, YouTube, God, that's not going to be good for us. And sometimes we need a reminder. I didn't know this. I just learned this after reading this. I was like, wow, I forgot him? So I can't come up here and talk about a problem and then just walk away. I have to have at least two things that I use to help and get back on my feet. I wrote that. The first thing I do is when I get up in the morning, I put on some music. If I'm feeling tired, I put on, like, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Or if I want to get hyped, I put on Forrest Frank or some Christian rap. And that gets you in his presence. It gets you thinking about him, and it starts you off in the right track. Or if I forget in the morning, and then it'll be afternoon, and then he says, hey, you forgot me. I go into a corner or something, blast Christian music, and then start praying and get into that. Another thing I do is in busy events, in my off time, if everyone else is talking about something, I could wander into a corner, sit there and pray and get back up. And it's a fight. It is a fight to stay on track. It feels good at first. It feels good to, no, I'm not going to read my Bible. No. Christian music. I have hyperpop. It doesn't work out good. So in conclusion, it is important that we set our sights on God and spend our days focusing on him. Life is full of distractions, but it is important to remember that we must prioritize God above all things so he could better work in us. Even when there is a lot going on, we must choose to seek him first. So I urge you, if you have this problem, well, here's a reminder. You have some stuff to help you now. All right, love you.
Just so happens that Brother Harrison was doing something that we trained for, which is called applying biblical principles while having fun. Amen. If you don't know why that's important to us, you can come into our youth class at any point, and we'll tell you all about it. But thank you, Brother Harrison. That was awesome. A great reminder. Practical ways. I also have a love of music, and a lot of the music that I loved was not good music that glorified God in any way. And I would wake up with whatever song was in my head every morning, and that kind of set my course. And the only way I got rid of that was by telling God, if you want me not to do that, you have to put a different song in my head every morning. And he has. And honestly, that's the only way that I start my day, with a different song than some other worldly song that gets my brain and my heart and pumping in a different mode. But no, he puts a song in my head. Sometimes it's an annoying song that's not what I want for the day, but it does make sure my brain is going in the right direction. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you, Brother Harrison. So for tonight, I'm going to share with you just a thought that had come to my head a little while ago. First, I just want to say welcome. I don't think I said welcome yet. Happy to be here. I am on about 2 hours worth of sleep, so if I say words that don't make sense, just start praying, and God will tell you whatever he was wanting to tell you. But I do enjoy being here on a Wednesday to share just some time with you, where we do what Brother Harrison was just talking about, where we dedicate our time and we refocus ourselves back on the Lord. Amen? But tonight we're going to talk about what it means to create. Has everyone created before? Something? Yeah. We all have. That sounds really good. A little cheese on top. Yeah, we've all created something. We've all solved problems before, right? We've all used something in our mind or with our hands and generated something new that wasn't there. And so that's a little bit about what we're talking about tonight, but there's a type of creation that's beyond what you do. And it's a creation that only God can accomplish. And in the Bible, there's a unique Hebrew word for this kind of creation. And if you know Hebrew, you can correct me on the pronunciation, but I'm going to just say it's bara. And it's a word that tells us something special about God and his divine power. And so if you're keeping track, that's my message. And now I'm just going to repeat it to you about five different ways. So if you got it the first time, you got it. But the word bara isn't just about making something. It's a word that's reserved for the kind of creation that God does. And so when we say create in English, we think about something, typically making something out of materials. If I give you a bunch of toothpicks and say build a house, you can create a house out of toothpicks. If I give you a pencil or some markers or paints, you can paint and create something. You're taking materials, you're using them to fashion together to create something else. But bara is something only God does. And that's creating something out of nothing. And so there's a couple places that we see this in. If you'd like to stand, I'm going to read two scriptures. The first one is talking about the world, and the second one is talking about his ability to transform our hearts. So any guesses on where our first scripture is? Genesis chapter 1. Any guesses on the verse? Yes, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. And then if we flip forward into the Songs of David in Psalms 51, verse 10, it reads, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Good that you may be seated. So here we are in the beginning. When God created the world, the Bible tells us that he used a unique type of creation. The word bara is used. And so that word to me, I forget when it was. It was a while ago. Genesis 1:1 was just popping up in Sunday school, popping up in lessons. And I think it was Pastor John was up here. He said something about Genesis 1:1, and I apologize. But at that point, I started reading the scripture. I saw a little link to the word, and I was down a rabbit hole. I don't know when I came back to your message, but I was there for a while looking at that verse, and it kind of stuck in my head, so I said, let's mark that in my notes. I need to go look at that later because it has something in it that God's trying to show me. And so this word stands apart here where God created the heavens and the earth. I didn't. I couldn't. I don't have the ability. He created it. And like I said before, he didn't create it out of clay or stones. He didn't go grab a pile of stones and smash them together or make some lava out of it and made a crust. No, out of nothing he spoke, and he created. The word bara is different. It's bringing something into existence out of nothing with his words. But not just that, but he's creating something that's marked with divine power. That he's creating something for a purpose and a design. I don't know if you've ever seen the artists that have a blank canvas and they take a bucket of paint and they just chuck it at the canvas. And then they put like a $6 million price tag on it and it sells. I could do that. No one would buy it from me, but I could do it, right? That's not what God did. He's more of, I don't know, I forget what the famous artist is. But I remember seeing him paint on a YouTube video, and it was a glass that he was painting on. And he took his brush, had white paint, and he literally went like this. And that was it. And it was the most beautiful, exquisite bowl you've ever seen. And he literally painted it, one line, one stroke, just like that. Artistry, design, purpose, everything in order, everything in proportion. It's just a line, but you knew exactly what it was, and it had a story in your brain. Bara, our powerful creator, God, in unmatched power, created something from nothing with purpose and divine. Amen? He didn't need a canvas. He didn't need paintbrush. His words alone created stars. His words alone created the earth and every living creature. He didn't just paint the picture. He made everything from nothing. And in everything he made, he had a purpose that was woven in with his creation. So the act of bara here, the act of creation with this word, speaks to the power that God has. And it reminds us that his creativity and his power are limitless and beyond something that I can grasp. Amen? I feel a Mark Rubio performance coming on. Yes, exactly. Thank you for understanding my reference. I did that for you. Anyways, trying to have a little fun. Bara. So let's move forward. So let's just consider the vastness of what we just spoke about, of the universe. If we go out there, I don't know if it's cloudy or not, but let's assume it's not cloudy, and you look up, and you look at every single star that's out there shining, and you just understand how small we are in this great universe, and how there's so much order in how the stars move, and how our planet's in a solar system, and those planets revolve, and how there's a sun just so much far away from us that gives us just enough light, and we have just enough oxygen. That's a lot of design. There's purpose in that creation. But then I also want you to look at what you know about science, and you look at your hand and realize that on your hand there's just millions, if not billions, of cells. And if you look at that cell, there's mitochondria in that cell that is the power, the powerhouse of the cell. But there's also a nucleus. And that nucleus, it splits into a couple things. I forget what they are. But you can keep splitting that down into the DNA and down into atoms. And then the atoms have nucleuses. And there's electrons, protons, and neutrons. I think I'm getting them all right. And then within those, there's quarks. I think that's the lowest I know. But just as we could go up into our solar system in infinity, you can go down infinity as well. God created with design and purpose, not just happen chance. Not something we could do. Amen? And so Psalms 19:1 captures this where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." I talk about liking to go hiking and hike to the top of a mountain because you can see forever. And that peace just kind of hits on me as I see God's creation and stress goes away. Or you go to a beach and you look out at the horizon and it's just crystal clean, wonderful. Peace comes and you just look and say, God, you've made something beautiful. And you get that sense of awe. The universe around you is not silent. If you stop and you just pay attention, you notice, you'll see that it's shouting God's power and his purpose. Even scientists who study creation's laws and its mysteries often just stand there in awe and wonder about how everything just works in harmony. How every law and intricate process of biology and all those certain things about creation that come together just so to make it all work, they just stand there and say, it's pretty awesome. It's not something we could devise. Amen? So this truth invites you to look at the world and at your lives with a renewed sense of wonder. You're here for a reason. The things that occur to you with a purpose. Sometimes they are a result of your action, a consequence. Other times some things are there because God's orchestrated it for you so that you can draw closer to Him. And so as we look at this masterpiece of what God's created through Bara, the question is, how does this change how you live? It's a challenge to approach life with a purpose, because you were created with a purpose. And that knowing that God, who created everything, is also looking to have a relationship with you with an intentional purpose. That you're here by a divine design. That you were created with a purpose. And you are created by God. Amen? So if we pop forward over to Psalms, our other scripture we read that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Here's David crying out to God. He had sinned, and he recognized that he needed a fresh start. David knew that his heart was stained. He had sin on him, and it required more than just self-improvement. It required more than just, well, I'll try to make sure I think good thoughts in the morning. He knew it needed God's intervention, that he needed a new beginning that only God could create, and a new beginning that only God could provide. And so in this scripture, when he's singing, he writes this, he asked God to create, but he didn't use the word create like paint me a picture. He didn't use the word create of, well, let's get a couple blocks together and build a cool house. He used the word bara, which is significant. Just as God created the universe from nothing, David is asking God to bring something entirely new into his life, to work in a way that only God can work. Amen. He's asking for a transformation in his heart that is so deep that it requires the same divine power that formed the heavens and the earth. And so if you picture a broken vase, anyone ever try to put a broken vase back together? I can't do it. Well, no, I can do it. I call up my father-in-law and give him the pieces and say, please. That's how I fix broken vases. He might have a little bara in his hands, just saying. But only master craftsmen who understand original design can fully restore something of that nature. And it reminds me of, I might get some of the details wrong, but I think it's over in China, I believe it's China, where they have these vases that it's broken, and they consider it a work of art, that they put it back together with gold in the cracks as they put it together. And that in of itself has extrinsic value. And there's 50 million scriptures and kind of messages you can get out of that about how God can put you back together that way. But only a master craftsman can do that. Like me with the broken vase, I hand it to my father-in-law because I don't have the patience. Unless it's like a big piece and another big piece that perfectly fits together and needs no glue, no nothing, you might as well just throw it out and get a new one, right? But if you've ever watched him work, he sits there like the inspector he is, and he puts it together, a little bit of glue, holds it, and just methodically works like a master craftsman. The other illustration I see in my head about making brand new here with David with his heart is we know the story of the potter that has the clay on the wheel, and he's been forming it, and he gets it up to a certain spot, and all of a sudden, it's just off center a little bit, and it's not quite right, and it starts to flop a little bit. What does the potter do? Smash. Picks it up, balls it on, slams it back down on the wheel so that he can start creating new, to create it in how it should be. And this is what God sometimes does with our hearts, and that when our hearts are broken with sin, we might try to fix it on our own. We might try to patch over some of those broken cracks. Maybe we just try to put a quick coat of paint over it to hide what's going on. But in reality, you need the master craftsman to make you new. You may implement some new rules and some restrictions in your life to help keep you away from whatever sin that is. You might instill some good habits, and I'm not against installing good habits, and I'm not against doing things to keep you from wrong. I think you should. I think you're mandated by the Bible to turn away from wicked things. But I'm sure you can all think about something where you've turned away from it, but it never changed what was in your heart. And that the only way that your heart was changed was because God used his bara power to renew you and make you new. David's prayer here shows us something important about our role in that transformation. That when he prayed for a clean heart, he didn't just ask God to make him a little better. Hey, God, I got this sin over here. Can we just, like, make it work out? Because that would make me happy. Because then I could have my sin and be saved. It'd be really great. That's not what David said. He recognized his own brokenness, and he was coming to God in repentance. And repentance is not about, like, being shamed or punishment, but just acknowledging he fell short, that he couldn't do what needed to be done, that his heart needed God and God's power to change it. We must turn away from our sin. However, I think it's worthwhile to recognize that only God, through his power and through his divine intervention and through his purpose and through his design, can create a new heart. And just as David came to God in humility, we too need to approach God with an open heart, ready to surrender the part of ourselves that needs healing, ready to surrender the part of us that we don't want to surrender, but give it to him so that he can make it brand new. Your repentance is the doorway to your transformation. The moment we say, God, I need you, I can't do this alone, is your invitation for him to use his creative power, to use his bara, to come into your life, take hold, and change you and make you new. This passage reminds me that no matter where you are in life, no matter how you feel, no matter how far from God you think you are, no matter how broken you think you are, that God's power to create you anew is always available to you. That we don't have to try harder or be better of our own strength. Instead, we come to him in repentance, ready to surrender, and let him do that work. That the same God who created the universe out of nothing with bara can create your heart brand new with his purpose and his design so that you may have a clean heart and live for him. Amen? Amen. So as I bring this to a close, you can see that God's creative power isn't limited to Genesis 1:1, to the beginning of time, where our world was created in all of its magnificence. But that the same God who brought the universe into being is continually at work, offering us the same chance to be made new, where you don't see your potential, Well, you're right, because you don't have it. However, where there's nothing, God can create everything. And so I know I just said you don't have potential. It's playing words, because where you have nothing, you have all the potential of the universe, because God can create it. So just as Jesus spoke into the darkness at creation, he can bring light into the dark places of your life and in your heart. God is both your creator and your recreator. So whatever he created that you've taken and messed up or done something wrong with, well, he can recreate it in you as well. He doesn't just create once and then leave you on your own, but he's there just like a potter with the clay, ready to form you however is needed. That he's constantly working, creating and recreating and making you whole. His purpose is not for you to be broken. His purpose is for you to be whole. And this word bara reminds us of that truth, that God's power is not only in creating worlds, but in transforming your heart, in restoring your life, and taking your brokenness and making something completely new and beautiful from it. So today I encourage you just to take a moment and ask yourself, where in your life do you need God's bara? Maybe it's a spot where you've been holding it together, one hand stretched over here, holding this side, and your other hand on the other side, just trying to keep something together. Maybe putting a coat of paint on something that the coat of paint's not going to fix. Are there places in your heart that you've been trying to fix on your own? Are there wounds you've been covering up, hoping they'll just go away? Is there a part of your past you're just hoping to let go, but you can't? God's inviting you to bring all of those things, to surrender to him in your brokenness and allow him to do what only he can do. To repent to him so that you can open that door and allow him to come in and change your life. He is a gracious God. He is not a dictator God. He's not going to come and force his way in. He's knocking at the door, and he's just waiting for you to open it. When we ask God to create in us a clean heart, we're inviting his purpose and his design back into our lives. We're asking him to make us new. So as we think about what the scriptures have told us with the word bara, you can think about yourself as God's masterpiece, a work of art in his hands. And that's where my title came from, of becoming a redeemed art, which is nice and cool for me because it spells out bara as a way for you to remind yourself that when God creates, he's helping you to be redeemed, to become his art piece once again in the full glory that he designed you for and his purpose for you. And that it reminds us that he's here to renew you. He's here to help shape you in love and in purpose. And so that my takeaway for you here is that in God's hands, we continually become his beautiful, redeemed creation. So I hope you can leave tonight with some reassurance that your life, like creation itself, can reflect God's purpose, can reflect his order, and reflect his beauty. You might not feel like your life is that today, and you're probably right. I think all of our lives have something in it that's waiting for God or that needs God to come in. But just as the heavens declare God's glory, when we allow him into our hearts, when they're transformed, also declare his glory and grace. And when the scripture talks about sharing God with others, your transformed heart is a great witness and a great opportunity for you to let other people know how God has helped you. Amen. We don't have to be perfect. We just simply need to be willing. And God always has an open invitation for you to come to him and ask him to come and create something in you new every day. Amen. Pastor, if you'd like to come and help close out the service.
Thank you. Why don't we take a minute and allow the Lord to start that work within our hearts. I feel as if, as Brother Steve was talking, the Lord might have been bringing some things to some people's minds to say, put that on the altar and allow me to start repairing what had been broken. You know, he says in Joel that he will restore the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm and all the other worms will have eaten. And it's kind of along the same lines, right? You think it's gone. You think there's no hope for it. You think it's all shot to pieces. But the Lord can make something beautiful out of all of those parts, out of all of the failures, and out of all of the scars. Why don't we take a moment, and I'll get out of the way, and we can open up the altar. Why don't we take that moment and allow the Lord to start that work in our hearts?